Parshas Bahaloscha and the Sicha on the Haftorah of Parshas Bahaloscha is in Volume 2, Chelek Beis of Likutei Sichas. In the Haftorah of Parshas Bahaloscha it says, Ra'isi v'hinei menorah zahav kulei. I saw a menorah all made out of gold. And this is a reference to the Jewish souls, the collective Jewish souls, because all Jews together make up a menorah that is all gold. In the menorah there were seven candles, seven lights. And that's true also of the Jewish people, that there are seven different ways in which Jews serve God, as is explained at length in Chassidus. There are those who serve God through chesed, through kindness, and there are those who serve God through the attribute of gvura, of severity or perfection, and so on through the seven emotions that make up the seven branches of the menorah. But what they all have in common is that all of them are candles, all of them illuminate. All of them make the Beis HaMikdash bright, and from the Beis HaMikdash that brightness and that light extends and spreads throughout the whole world, which is why the windows of the Beis HaMikdash were built differently than the windows of a private home, in that the windows were built in such a way that the light should spread outwards from the Beis HaMikdash rather than collect the light from the outside for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. So the light of the Beis HaMikdash spread throughout the whole world. And that is the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. And where did the light of the Beis HaMikdash come from? From the candles, from the Jewish souls. So although there are different kinds of Jews, and each one has to serve God according to his personality, according to his talents, as it says, Ani lo nivreisi ela l'shamish eskeini, I was created only to serve my Creator, which means I, with my particular talents, with the abilities that God gave me, with those abilities and with those talents, I am supposed to serve God, which makes my service different from others. But what makes us all equal, that which we all have in common, is that all of us are here to create light and to illuminate the world. The difference is only in the approach, in how we go about producing that light. So there are those who go about their service, go about serving God through the attribute of kindness, because that's what their personality dictates. And by another person, the avodah, the service, comes through the attribute of severity, of strictness, of perfectionism, in that they are very strict with themselves, and they're very careful with the way they behave. And this also comes from their personality, in which the gvura is dominant. But that's when the distinction between the manner in which we approach the service. But the goal, the end result, is the same for all Jews, and that is that we bring light to the world. Now, although the goal is the same for everyone, yet it makes a big difference in the way that we serve God. It makes a big difference whether we are using the attribute of kindness or the attribute of severity. In the attribute of severity, a person may be acting very strict and very severe, and the intention and the end goal is to produce light and illuminate the world. But that's not always immediately evident. Whereas when a person uses the attribute of kindness with which to do the mitzvahs, then right from the start it is obvious to everyone that the purpose and the end goal is to bring light, because the manner is also a manner of light. And so we don't have to look beyond the surface to see where this behavior is leading. It is obvious and clear that it is a light-producing behavior, because immediately it is evident that there is a love here for a fellow Jew. That was the way in which Aaron, The Kohen Gadol served God and lit the Menorah. Aaron was the one who loved all creatures and brought them to Torah. Even those who the Torah describes as creatures, which means they have no other virtue, there's nothing else complementary that can be said about them. They have only personal failings and personal faults. Their only redeeming virtue is that God created them, that they are God's creatures, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya. And even them, Aaron approached only with love and drew them to Torah through love. And in this case, the way that Aaron pursued the performance of mitzvahs and the spreading of Yiddishkeit, here the goal and the manner are all the same. The goal is to produce light and kindness, and the manner was a manner of light and kindness. So that even on the surface, it was obvious that that the love for the creatures was there, and it was through that that Jews were drawn closer to Torah. This was also the style and the approach of all the Rebbes, including the previous Rebbe, that their work, of course, was to light the candles and to bring light to the world, and their style was to do it with kindness and with love. In every Jew, there is the candle, which is the neshama. But some need to have their candle lit by someone else other than themselves. They can't light their own candle. And that is the work and the job of Nesiyei Yisroel, of the heads of the Jewish people, to light the neshama of the Jew who is finding it difficult to inspire and light his own neshama. And in this, there are seven different categories. The style that the Rebbes of Chabad used to light the neshamas in other Jews, and particularly the previous Rebbe, was the style of love that was obvious and visible to all. Not only was the end goal one of light and of joy, but also the style and the approach to bring a Jew to Yiddishkeit only through ways of kiruv and through pleasantness. They lit the neshama of all seven categories of Jews. The order in which the teachings of Hasidus reach to the outside world is not that we sit and wait until the outside world comes and asks to be taught Hasidus, but rather we have to go out into the world, to the outside, and there spread the teachings of Hasidus. And this approach, going to the student, going to the needy, was originally introduced by Aaron the Kohen Gadol, who was Oyev Shalom v'Zeidev Shalim. He not only loved peace, but he pursued peace. And in his pursuing of peace and love of his fellow creatures, he brought them to Torah. Aaron didn't wait for people to come to him. He went to them first. And he went not only to those who promised to be great students and to achieve great things, he went even to those who, as we said before, can be described only as creatures. And even with them, Aaron didn't wait for them to come to him, but he went to them in order to bring them closer to Torah. And the expression, bringing them close to Torah, is an important lesson and an important detail in the spreading of Torah, in that we bring the people to the Torah, we don't bring the Torah to the people. Although Aaron went to them, so you might get the impression that he brought the Torah to them, he lowered the standards of Torah so that they be comfortable to those who are merely creatures, that, the Torah tells us, was not the case. Even though he went to them, but he did not in any way lower the standards and compromise the standards of Torah, he brought the entire Torah to them, the Torah as it is, without compromises. This element in the Aveda of Aaron is also hinted at in the lighting of the menorah Ba'aleischa es haneres, because candles refer to Jewish souls, as we said before, Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, and there are seven kinds of souls, as it says in Lakot Teira, and this is reflected in the seven candles, or the seven branches of the menorah. So the work, the job of Aaron was to light the neshamas of all seven categories until they had their own light and can continue to burn on their own. So how effective was Aaron, how deep was his influence in bringing those neshamas to illuminate and to give off their light? So the Torah tells us, Ad shetehei shalheves oila me'aleha, that he had to kindle the wick until the flame had caught and could burn on its own. As long as the Neir Hashem, as long as the neshama of these creatures remained dependent on Aaron, that he had to continuously bring them the fire and continue to ignite their neshama, then Aaron had not yet accomplished his desired goal. The success of Aaron's efforts were when the Jews' neshama had caught sufficiently so that he was no longer dependent on Aaron. He didn't have to have his fire lit, but instead he became a source of life, light himself, and could then light other candles. Concerning the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, we find three commandments. Number one, that the lighting itself doesn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol or by a Kohen, it can be done by anyone. Number two, preparation of the menorah, the oil and the wick, putting them all in their place, this had to be done by a Kohen. Not necessarily a Kohen Gadol, but by a Kohen. Number three, the place of the menorah had to be in the Heichal, in the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And so it is also with lighting the neshamas, with inspiring the seven branches of the menorah of the Jewish people. Number one, that lighting the neshama is not only the job of a Kohen, and certainly not limited to the Kohen Gadol, it is the job of every Jew. Every Jew has the responsibility to spread the teachings of Torah, and particularly the teachings of Chassidus, until it inspires all the Jews around them. This is a mitzvah for every Jew, because we are all told that even if we're not a Kohen, but we should be like the students of Aaron. Not like the children of Aaron, who are all Kohanim, but we should be like the students of Aaron, that even if you're not a Kohen, yet you should accomplish that which Aaron accomplishes, the lighting of the menorah. Number two, the preparation of the menorah, for this you have to be a Kohen. Because a person can think, since the important thing is that I should influence another person, so what difference does it make how it is that I influence him? I will find my own explanations in Torah, my own insights, my own inspiring sermons, and this will inspire people to do mitzvahs. So what's the difference whether what I'm saying is absolutely true or correct or holy or not? So for this we have the instruction that the preparation, the oil and the wick of the menorah, this has to be prepared by a Kohen and not by just anyone. And what is a Kohen? A Kohen is someone whose life is completely, exclusively devoted to godliness. He has no other commitments, he has no other involvements, he is free to serve God with all his heart because God is the center of his life and the only devotion in his life. And that's why the Kohen is not allowed to own property and so on, because his devotion is completely to godliness. Only such a person can prepare the material for the menorah, which means that such a person prepares the teachings and the lessons and the instructions with which every Jew can then reach out to another Jew. And the third thing is that the menorah has to be kindled inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside a place of holiness. And the moral, the lesson from that is that a person should not say that although it is true that I have to illuminate and kindle the flame of another person's neshama, but who says that I have to do it to the highest degree of holiness? Why does it have to be on the level of the Beis HaMikdash? There are people who are not necessarily equipped to handle that degree of holiness. So the Rebbe tells us that the instruction and the moral, the lesson that we get from this law that the menorah has to be kindled in the Beis HaMikdash is that we should never underestimate the potential holiness of any Jew. And therefore we have to light the menorah of the Jew, the candle of the Jewish neshama, with the highest degree of holiness. This doesn't mean that we have to immediately expect every Jew to do all 613 mitzvahs, but that every mitzvah that a Jew does, even if he's doing only one or two, even if he's not doing them all, the mitzvahs that he is doing should be on the highest level of holiness, with the greatest purity, with the greatest sincerity, with the greatest focus on the godliness of the mitzvah and not for any other reason. So the purity of the mitzvah and the holiness of the mitzvah should not be compromised. So we have here two lessons. Number one, that every Jew is responsible to spread the light of Torah and mitzvahs, and there must be no compromise in that. You don't bring the Torah down. You don't compromise the mitzvahs. But another lesson is that in the mitzvah, the few mitzvahs that the person does do, we don't compromise the quality of the mitzvah, the holiness of the mitzvah. We bring the Jew into the Beis HaMikdash, we bring him to a level of holiness, which means purity and godliness, in the performance of whatever mitzvah he happens to be doing. So even if a person knows that the student that he is teaching or the person that he is trying to influence will never be 100% and do all mitzvahs to perfection, this should in no way permit the teacher to lower the holiness of the mitzvah that the person is doing. And therefore, you can teach chassidus to a person who is doing only a few mitzvahs, because in those few mitzvahs, he has to know the godliness of the mitzvah and the holiness of the mitzvah, and be able to do the mitzvah with the proper sincerity, appropriate for the Beis HaMikdash, appropriate for lighting a menorah in the Heichal, inside of the Beis HaMikdash. As is explained in Chassidus, that in Seichel, in intelligence and in emotions, you can have a partial experience. You can understand a subject partially. You can understand your teacher partially. So you can have some of his wisdom, even if you don't have it all. Same is true also with emotions. You can have a more mature emotion. You can have a more childish emotion. So emotions come in various sizes and in various degrees. But when it comes to will, when it comes to Rotzen, Chassidus says, here there can't be a partial will. If a person needs something and you don't do what it is he needs, you can't claim to have done half of what he needs. Because half of what he needs isn't what he needs. He still doesn't have his need or his will fulfilled. And so when a person understands that every mitzvah is a divine will, this is what God wants, to do it partially would be a failure in the whole will. So we're not saying you can't do a mitzvah partially, but you can't approach a mitzvah partially. You have to recognize, being the divine will, being that this is what God wants, you have to be aware, you have to be conscious, you have to approach the mitzvah with that kind of respect, or with that kind of bittul, which makes the mitzvah a pure and holy mitzvah. And so it is also in the differences between the generations, that there was a time in earlier generations where people were very pious, and they were they kept Torah and mitzvahs completely and perfectly, and yet they didn't learn Hasidus before the teachings of Hasidus were revealed. And it's only in the last few generations that the Pnimius HaTorah, the soul of Torah, which is Hasidus, has been revealed and is now available for everyone to study. So the fact that it has become available in our generations means that it is essential to us, even if it wasn't in earlier generations, but to us it is essential that we study Hasidus and perform mitzvahs with the insight and with the inspiration and with the holiness that Hasidus adds. And so it is necessary to teach Hasidus even to a person who is beginning to find his way into mitzvahs and into Yiddishkeit, so that his mitzvah that he is performing should be pure and holy. One of the virtues that the Gemara tells us enables a person to have children who grow up to be Kehanim Gedolim. The Gemara says that there was a woman who all her children, all her sons, became Kehanim Gedolim, and that was because of the great degree of modesty that she kept. And a person could think to himself, why do I have to be so modest in order to have children who will be Kehanim Gedolim? Why isn't it enough that our children should be as holy as a regular Kohen? In fact, all Jews, Kol Yisrael Kadeshim Heim, all Jews are holy. So why do we have to take that extra measure, go the extra mile to be so modest and so tzniyazdik that our children should be on the level of the Kayan Godel? And this is what the Menorah teaches us, that we have to light the Menorah not just anywhere, but in the Beis HaMikdash. That even though there's a possibility of lighting a menorah in a lesser, less holy environment to achieve a lower level of holiness, yet the Torah tells us that that's not good enough. We have to light the menorah to produce a light in the place of holiness. If a woman is capable of raising her children to be Kehanim Gedolim, that itself obligates her. If she is capable, then she becomes obligated to settle for nothing less and to keep a level of tzniyas that will guarantee that her children will be on the level of the Kayin Gadol. And with this we'll understand why the Torah says, speak to Aaron and tell him about lighting the menorah. That Aaron should light the menorah. When we know that lighting the menorah, as we said before, can be done even by a person who is not a Kayin at all. And the preparation of the menorah also doesn't demand the attention of a Kayin Gadol. A regular Kayin can do it. So why was Aaron told that he should light the menorah? So as we said before, it is a mitzvah on every Jew to affect and to influence and to inspire another Jew to light the godly potential that exists in the neshama of every Jew. And we also said that the manner of the lighting, this has to be influenced from the outside. The person can't light his own neshama. It has to be lit by someone else. And that someone else has to bring the holiness of a Kohen Gadol to the neshama. Not to be content with a lower level of holiness, but to demand the highest degree of holiness, that of the Kohen Gadol. And what is the holiness of a Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol was the one who entered not only the Heichal, not only the outer chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, but he went lifnai v'lifnim into the inner chamber, the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies contained nothing besides the Ark, which contained the Ten Commandments, the tablets. Which means that a Kohen Gadol is one who is exclusive devotion to the study of Torah. What's more, in the Holy of Holies, there were the Luchos. Luchos represent the Torah, but they represent the Torah as it's engraved in stone. Not a parchment Torah with letters written with ink, but rather a Torah inscribed in the stone. And as we've already spoken on other occasions, when you have engraved letters, then the stone itself makes up the letters, and the letters are not something separate from the stone. And that is the level of the Kohen Gadol, that he is the Torah. He is a living Torah. And that's why the Torah says, speak to Aaron and he should light the menorah. The obligation and the privilege of lighting a menorah applies to every Jew, to help another Jew's neshama come into light. But that ability that every Jew has to light another Jew's menorah, this comes from the Kohen Gadol. Comes from the Nasi of the generation, from the Kohen Gadol of the generation. And when we have that connection, and we have that ability coming from the Kohen Gadol, then every Jew is kosher, every Jew is ready and prepared and capable of lighting the menorah. And this is particularly true of Jewish women, of mothers in whose hands the main responsibility of raising the next generation of sons and daughters, this obligation is primarily in the hands of the woman. So the woman needs to know that she shouldn't settle for anything less than to raise up her children to be on the level of the Kohen Gadol. Also, the Gemara says, concerning the Kohen Gadol, that through the change in a behavior, when we improve our behavior, all the obstacles that stood in our way beforehand concerning the lives of our sons and daughters, the difficulties in raising our children, even the physical, material difficulties, all of them are removed, and we are blessed with ban chaya umezeina revicha, with children and with health and with sustenance, and all of them in abundance.